Soul. Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards Hall of Fame, and this podcast, Authors on Fire. I am Pat Rulo. Today, I have a recent Firebird Book Award winning author to share with you. He is A.S. Norris, and his recent winner is titled The Hunted Mage, the third book in his previously award-winning books from the Jack Wartnoe series. Norris, as he commonly goes by, is a man of many adventures himself. From hiking in the New Mexican high desert to climbing Mount Fuji in Japan to diving off the Australian Great Barrier Reef, and many more to tell some other time, he has garnered a love of adventuring and traveling. But his greatest adventure and gift from above has been marrying the love of his life over 8 years ago. It is this shared adventure that partly inspired him to begin writing his first novel, The Wayward Mage. The first novel began the adventure of Jack Wartnoe's series. And although he has tinkered with several manuscripts, short stories, and poems off and on for years, it was after kissing the Blarney Stone that this story about Jack Wartnoe's finally clocked something inside of him to finish it to the end. And perhaps we will find out what that was. So, welcome to the network, Norris.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for being here. I'm looking forward to our conversation, and I want to thank you and congratulate you on winning the Firebird Book Award.
Thanks. It's been a real pleasure. A good motivation to know that my works are not just my friends and family that are saying that others win this. I actually have other people that I don't associate with. I put my first two books up, I had never heard of your website before or your podcast or anything like that. So it was good, good little ego stroke, if you want to call it that, to know that, wow, my writing actually is good and people do see the value in it.
I know, that feels good. Well, I'm happy you found us. Thank you. So, Kissing the Blarney Stone was the catalyst to begin this series. Just give us a little brief peek into that experience of kissing the Blarney Stone. Are they still doing it where you have to bend over backwards to do that?
Yes. Okay. The way that they had us do it was sit down on our butt facing backward to it, and then we had to lean down over, there's a grate over the hole, okay, so you're not going to fall through, and there's at least somebody there that'll be there to help you back up, but you're literally leaning backwards and down to fit your head under the stone in this wall here, in this hole, and there's about 100-foot drop down, and you kiss it, and then they help you back up and move along your way. So for those that don't like heights, it's not for the faint of heart, to say.
I've not been, but I've seen pictures, and I thought, I'd have to maybe think twice about that. Why? What happened? What stirred inside of you that after that experience that you decided that, wow, I'm going to continue writing and get these books out here?
Well, to back up real quick, before that, I had tinkered with writing before back in college and what have you, and I never really went anywhere with it. Unfortunately, one of the reasons why I never did was in the same week, I lost both my computer hard drive and my backup hard drive with all my writings and what have you on there. So it was a big damper on my creativity process because like all this hard putting into all these stories and whatnot, and all it's been at least, so I had given up writing for a number of years, and Kissing the Blarney Stone, it was around that time that I really started thinking again about writing stories. It still took me a few years of just coming back to terms with that side of me, but the passion, if you will, reignited within me, and at first burned slowly until the shutdowns in 2020-2021, in which case I had, don't laugh, this is a true story. I had a dream about a man walking into a tavern and coming across his long-lost love after almost 20 years of them being separated, And after she first accosts him, "How dare you love me and leave me, you blackguard," and all this, they end up getting back together. And it was then that I woke up, I was smiling, I was laughing, chuckling a little bit. And so I decided to write it down. And then it being the shutdown and lockdowns, everything was just real grim, dire. So I decided to just, you know, I'll tinker with this a little bit more. I'll make it a happy ending. They get married in the end. And then after that, I had another thought. Why does marriage have to be the end of the adventure? In reality, marriage is only the beginning of the adventure, and the rest is history. So I attribute to Blarney Stone for helping me to reignite that that passion, that dormant passion in me, that now I've written three books in the series. Fourth one is coming out in October, and I have a novella as well as a prequel, free for my newsletter subscribers. So, and then I have many, many, many other stories that are just waiting to get out as well. So that's the short of it.
Oh, I love that. I can't even imagine, though, losing everything in a computer crash. That would have to be devastating.
I know. It was really devastating. Like I said, I had, oh gosh, hundreds of pages over several stories and poems and what have you. Yeah, I was able to recover some of it, but not most of it. I would say about 90, 95% of it was lost, unfortunately, when those two hard drives went up in flames.
Wow. It's always interesting, all of the experiences and events that lead us to finally, you know, produce something. When we're going through it, it might seem difficult, but obviously there was a reason why, and maybe your books are it now. Maybe they wouldn't have been the same.
No, they certainly wouldn't have, and I would attribute that to just the life experiences that I've had. I think that what makes the best writers, just in my humble opinion, are those people that actually go out into the world and experience the world a little bit. In my case, after losing the hard drives and whatnot, I was in the Navy at the time, and I had been deployed three times over to the Western Pacific, Southeast Asia area, and I have so many stories. Someday I will write a book about it all when the statute of limitation runs up on some of these events. Joking, but the point being is that by myself having a number of these adventures, it's helped me to understand more of the human condition, if you will, because I've seen a number of people, a number of different peoples, customs, societies. It's opened up my mind to what else is out there in the world. Also seeing just the natural beauty, whether it's the jungles in Southeast Asia, the open ocean, the night sky when you have no lights all around. It's just you're in pitch black on the grass, a sea of stars above. And then all of these other excursions, like climbing up Mount Fuji or diving off the Great Barrier Reef, living life a little bit helps give good perspective, I think, to writers, that, especially in my genre of fantasy adventure, to know how best to describe scenes, settings, peoples, what have you, but also to give a more human touch to the characters that they create as well.
Yes, as you were speaking, I was thinking the same thing, that all of the adventures that you have had really probably help you to write epic fantasy or sword and sorcery. I think having those adventures puts you in that frame of mind as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, give us a look into the series. I know we have three books, so maybe just highlight the storyline so our listeners have an idea of what to expect when they pick up your books.
Sure. The elevator pitch for it is you take the epic journey of something like Lord of the Rings and you combine it with the humor and romance of something like The Princess Bride. So the general premise is Jack Wartnose, he's a mage apprentice. He is on a quest looking for this elusive artifact, the Tome of Time, that's been missing for millennia. He finds the lead on it, And in the beginning of the story, he and his party members go into a tavern there to stop for the night, and he comes across, and Jack Warnos comes across his long-lost childhood love after almost 20 years, Muriel Bellblossom. And she, of course, sees him and accosts him, as I mentioned in my dream earlier, and, you know, how dare you love me, leave me, and that's when Jack also finds out that he fathered a son with her. So he is left with a choice. Does he continue on his quest and leave his childhood his sweetheart and now son that he's just discovered behind again, or does he man up and take responsibility and marry his childhood love to fulfill the promise he made to her all those days ago? Well, he goes with the latter, and they get married, but then that brings up another set of choices. Does he now leave his new family to continue on the quest, or does he take him along with him, knowing that there's going to be danger, possibly, and other difficulties along the way there? So he ends up taking him along with him, so ends up becoming almost, I don't want to say a family road trip, along the journey, his hero's journey is more about him becoming a better husband and father as he learns to grow with his family. And then as the journey proceeds and they go from destination to destination, he finds out that in his wayward past, in the 20 years in between him and his childhood sweetheart being separated, that he fathered a number of other children throughout the kingdom, and they start popping out of the woodwork. Mm-hmm. And so now he has to make a choice with them. Does he continue to abandon them, or does he try to heal the wounds that he's left with them and bring them along to join the adventure as well? And so it's not just a fantasy adventure of playing a quest or going on a quest to find an artifact. That's the backdrop of it. The main reason for the story, if you will, is primarily about redemption, forgiveness, family. It's a character study about someone that has been that's confronted with his past misdeeds and how he goes about trying to reconcile with the people that he's hurt in the past as he goes along this journey. Mm-hmm. So in that way, I try to make the story much more than just a typical fantasy adventure. I wanted it to be something more. And judging by some of the reactions I've gotten from people, they especially appreciate the characters. I had one author recently reading it said, you know, these characters really grew on me. Like, I didn't think I was going to like them at first, but I read through all the three books that are out there, and I really love where these characters have gone. There's such growth. There's such maturity. There's a lot of nuance with them that they really feel like living human beings just coming right off the page.
Mm-hmm. What a compliment, huh?
Yes. Yes. I'll take any compliment I can get.
So we've got the typical hero's journey, but we've got romance thrown in there, and you're including these moral themes, which, yeah, that gives that whole fantasy adventure another level and another layer to it. And I can tell that that's important to you to include some of the moral or social themes within the book.
Yes, I don't preach. I don't proselytize. I don't try to beat people over the head with it. What I do is I let the characters, through their actions, through their words, play out these various scenarios and let those lessons, those morals, those virtues come out that way, if you will. So just to, you know, give an example, one of the issues in the first book is the son that I've with for the last 18 years of his life. Am I going to, you know, with his confidence because he doesn't trust me. He thinks that, you know, I'm not, he thinks I'm a blackguard. He thinks that I'm just going to leave his mother and him again at first chance. How do I get him to trust again? And through their interactions together, having to take a side quest and bonding over a near-death experience during that side quest, that they begin to see each other in a different light and begin to, you know, heal that wound together. So it's things like that I do throughout the series there, where it's not just a, you know, it's not a how-to book, it's not a self-help book, but there are universal truths and lessons that can be garnered just by the way the characters interact with each other. Mm-hmm. But it remains first and foremost a fantasy adventure story. Mm-hmm. So it's not a preachy book. It's a, I'm really getting invested into the characters and how they interact with each other. And at the same time, you're getting substance from that as well. More than just a fun story, you're getting a good, my mind just went blank here. I'm sorry. A good helping of virtuous actions, mm-hmm. what have you.
Mm-hmm. And I think readers appreciate that. I know I do when I'm reading a book, and you can really relate to the character. And as you said, you don't have to be hit over the head with lessons, but you can learn from the characters in very subtle ways. And that's actually quite a talent for a writer and as a writer to be able to develop your characters to make them believable. How do you go about that?
I think I have a really good relationship with my characters, although they tend to want to do their own thing when I get the writing. It's kind of funny how as I'm writing, I don't necessarily think about what their actions are going to be. I just let the words flow, and it just comes naturally. Mm-hmm. Just thinking like, okay, I got Scully the thief. I know in my mind that he's not necessarily trustworthy. He's always looking out for number one, but he also does have a sense of honor about him. For example, he takes care of widows and orphans when he comes across those in need. Okay, so when I put him in certain scenarios of like, for example, the troop is in dire need of earning some cash real quick, and he's like, well, I'll go and do what I do best. And Jack Warnos is, Scully, I don't want you to get us into trouble here, okay? So whatever you do, I don't want to know how the sausage is made. That's sort of interaction of how Warnos being a more honest man, because in my world, the way I've created, if you become a mage, you can't tell a lie. You can't lie. You can't spread falsehoods because that corrupts your heart and that affects the spells that you end up speaking. They end up becoming curses instead of, you know, good, true magic. So you have, you know, the honest man of Jack Warnos dealing with a slightly more dishonest man in Scully and their interactions between each other there. You also have, I'm trying to think of another good example how to explain this. His son, how in the first book he takes after some of his father's more amorous traits quite by accident without realizing it. And the consequences that lead from that to where Jack Warnos ends up getting punched in the face by the father of a girl his son has. His son is really sweet on. So it's those sort of interactions where I let the character, I have in my mind what each character is like personality wise, what they would do in certain situations. And then I just let them sort of dictate the flow of the scene mm-hmm. going from there. Mm-hmm. On occasion, I have to course correct to make sure that I stay on track to get to the end of the book and not meander too much. Mm-hmm. But allowed the characters to enjoy some off-topic conversations and interactions throughout the stories there that I think audiences will appreciate, because it gives them, as I said, a more human touch. Mm-hmm. They're not just literary characters going from point A to point B, doing the correct things in between, that they do have their own lives, their own views on life, and the way that they play off each other. I really think that the audiences appreciate.
Yeah, you have to appreciate good character development because it's a talent. You also include humor within the book.
I would say one of my biggest influences for this is the late, great Terry Pratchett and his Discworld series. It's one of my favorite fantasy series that I've read. I haven't read all of them. I need to get back to it, but the books that I have read are just phenomenal in how he, again, going with the whole character, he creates great characters that play off each other and the interactions that you have between the characters and themselves or the situations leads to that sort of comedy. So in my case, I take the view that life should not be so serious all the time. You should have a little bit of levity every now and then to be able to get through life, because life is hard. You're constantly working, you're struggling, trying to make ends meet and what have you. And some of the best remedies to get through the drudgery of life is a good laugh. So when it comes to some of the bits of humor that I put in there, everything from just the awkward interactions of a newlywed couple, Jack Warnow's and Muriel Bill Blossom, having, now that they're married and they're now living together, people that have been married for a long time would understand, okay, sleeping arrangements, how they approach different situations and arguments with each other, yet coming back together. Or if it's, you know, something, like I said, with the character Scully the Thief is probably the biggest laugh maker, just because him being a little bit of a sleaze, he comes up with some great lines, such as, when opportunity strikes, you steal it. Mm-hmm. But then also the way other characters play off of them. For example, I have a scene in the third book where it's Jack, his son, and Scully, and they're sitting down talking back to Irving. And a question came up to Scully, and he opens up a little bit and gives a real heartfelt answer. And the son answers, "Wow, that was amazing, Scully. Where did you steal that heart of gold under all that black you wear?" So it's that's how the humor comes out. Mm-hmm. It's through the character interactions with themselves and with the scene around. And again, I do that because I want people to connect more to the characters, but I also want them to just enjoy the story. Right. You know, that this isn't a historical text or a huge or a grand Grecian myth, okay, where it seems kind of impersonal, that they're kind of talking about the events, but you don't really get to know the character all too well. That I want them to feel like this is something like a friend telling you what happened to them, I guess is the best way I can describe it.
Mm-hmm. And even the name Wartnose, where did that come from?
Oh gosh, I'm terrible with names, I'll be honest with you. So when I started writing the character down, I just put the name Jack down because, as a placeholder,
right,
thinking I was going to come back with some grand name later. And as I kept writing the story and I couldn't think of a better name for him, I just said, okay, Jack. I'm just going to keep calling him Jack. But I need at least something memorable for him, okay? Because you look at, you know, the name Jack itself, it's plain Jane. It's the everyman type of name. But where it really stands out is when you have a good last name. Jack Reacher, Jack Sparrow. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to think, okay, I've got, he's a mage, he does magic, and through the thought process, I had, for some reason, this image, this stereotypical image of a witch with a wart on her nose came to mind, and that's how I got wart nose. Sorry for anybody that's named Jack, okay, but a generic name like Jack, right. And every man named like Jack, you gotta have a unique last name to help make them stand out among the sea of Jacks.
The sea of Jacks. I like that. So you said you are now working on the fourth book. It'll be out soon?
Yeah, fourth book is done. I'm running my Kickstarter campaign right now to help fund it a little bit, and then I am going to be officially publishing it on 22nd this year.
Okay.
And so that's done. I'm just in the publishing phase of that. I am actually working on book five right now. I'm in the first run through of edits on my end with that. And then periodically, I've been writing down chapters for book six. Many of those have been in my mind for the last year and a half, and I'm just now getting to the point where I can actually write them down and have it, and I was afraid of writing it down before, so I was still writing the rest of the other books there. I was like, hey, where am I going to end up here? Are these great ideas actually going to, am I actually going to meet these ideas when I get to them? And thankfully, yes. So I've got book five, a little bit of book six, and I just keep writing. The one thing that I've learned is that if you at least keep writing the books, that's about 50% of the battle.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else can be done later on the end. I don't have the best social media game. I know that. I also don't have a lot of time and money right now to be able to spend on upping that game or any of the other promotional needs for this. So I do what I can when I can, but primarily I just keep writing,
right.
And that's probably my biggest strength. It's just how quick I can write the books.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great piece of advice. I mean, you're a writer, so, and you've got all of these thoughts and ideas and books inside of you, so the only way to get them out is to keep writing. And as you say, that's 50% of it. And then after, you can go back and edit and send it off to review and those type of things. But you first have to get it on paper.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. You can't really call yourself a writer if you don't write. And what's the point of promoting if you don't have any books to promote?
Right. Very, very true. Wise advice. Well, I think we covered quite a bit. I want to make sure as we begin to wrap up that we haven't missed anything that you wanted to talk about today.
The only thing I'll say is that for anyone that's curious about my books and you want to know what the age level is, I would say older kids, teenagers up. The way I describe it is that I write for adults, but it's teen safe. So it's not going to be chock full of smuts or excessive gore or really strong language. It's, if you let your kids read Tolkien or Shakespeare, then you shouldn't have any problem with my books here. Especially if you let your kids read Shakespeare, because he was very bawdy.
Yes.
And I am not anywhere near where he's at.
I was going to say, when you said Shakespeare, I thought,
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's like the high bar here, because I know a lot of people are like, oh, you know, Shakespeare is this great writer. It's like, have you read some of the stuff that man put down on paper? Like, don't get me wrong, okay? A lot of it is funny, but some of it is like, wow, this is really scandalous.
I hear
you. For the time period.
Especially for the times, yes, absolutely. Oh, that's funny. All right, well, if you would then, share contact information where folks can find out more, get copies of your books.
Absolutely. All my books right now are on Amazon. Recommend searching The Adventures of Jack Wartnose, and my books will pop up that way. That is the series name, The Adventures of Jack Wartnose. And right now I have three books out on Amazon. The Wayward Mage is book one. The Forbearing Mage is book two, and The Hunted Mage is book three, with The Condemned Mage book four coming out in the fall. You can also reach me at my website, www.asnauthor.com. And if you go there, you can sign up for my newsletter, get the free prequel novella, The Wayward Apprentice, as my gift to you, and also as an opportunity for you to take a look at my writing style and what have you. You can also find links to my books that way, and links to all my reviews and awards that I won off of the series so far. And for those that are listening, until September 12th, my Kickstarter campaign for book is active. So please support. Please help back a independent self-publisher such as myself. If you go to Kickstarter and type in The Condemned Mage, my book will pop up. Again, it's book four of the series there, and it's coming out October 22nd this year.
Excellent. All righty. So we are speaking with A.S. Norris, and we talked about the Adventure of Jack Wartnoe series. You can find him in all the places you can find quality books, Amazon, and especially at his website, asnauthor.com. Well, Norris, thank you for today. I'm so happy that we finally had this opportunity to share you and Jack Wartnoe's with our listeners. Keep writing and keep sharing with us. You're always welcome here.
It's been a pleasure talking with you, Pat, and I hope that we can do this again soon.